Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Faisal. I'm doing very well, although I thought we had summer. Looks like it's taken a bit of a pause on us. Come on back. Come
you,
on.
You already went to summer? Like
I did.
You know we only have two seasons in the city. It's hockey and not hockey. Those are the only two seasons that we have.
Gotcha. I'm and a golfer, though.
You're in the wrong city. No, you're not. No, hey, this is
it's my fantasy. Get your own.
No, you're in the right city if you want to golf for 3 days out of the year. It's perfect. So we've got a very interesting show today.
Well, we do. We're going to talk about the connection between the brain and exercise. But listen, it's not the basic conversation. I think everybody would accept that if you know your cardiovascular health improves, it's blood flow, oxygen, everything to your brain, that's good. But there's some new and evolving research. Stick around for that because I think you'll find it interesting.
Yeah, that will be a good segment as well. We've got seniors are reporting higher life satisfaction than in other groups. But what about Canadians?
Mm-hmm.
Are they enjoying their retirement?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun time with that.
All right.
We also had a very interesting week this week when it came to the markets. Yeah. This is what I call fundamental week.
Yeah.
Earnings reports.
Lots of them.
You know, we, a lot of the times during a quarter, a lot of speculation of what could happen
right.
comes out. This week, and the U.S. took a lot of the attention, was the earnings reports of a bunch of companies. Mm-hmm. And companies like Ford did well. Companies like Amazon have done well.
Microsoft, right?
Microsoft is now part of the trillion-dollar club.
Right.
You know, so these different companies doing different things are seeing some growth. And then to surprise all of us, all of us, like you and I didn't even think this was going to happen in the first quarter of GDP numbers for the United States. We get a report of 3.2% growth of GDP when we were expecting 2.5%. Usually the first quarter is pretty lull, pretty boring, pretty, non-eventful.
Right.
And so we don't expect much out of it. And then all of a sudden, we get a nice 3.2%. Now, there's going to be a couple of revisions over the next few months, but we're generally going to see that it's better than what was expected is what I'm seeing. So,
well, it has been like 75 plus. So I don't know exactly what the number is right now. Been beating expectations, right?
Yeah. So right when we got to the point where people are saying, maybe we've reached the peak of this economy. Maybe we're now turning down. We're decelerating. We're getting closer to a recession. Maybe not yet.
Maybe not yet, but let me throw in this notion of an earnings recession as well, because some of the press has been reporting that. I've had questions about this, and you got to remember there's a big base effect here. Last year's quarterly results were influenced by the big tax changes in the United States.
Correct.
Right? So massive increases in earnings, not because of fundamental business, but because of a change in the tax rate, right?
Correct.
And so we went into this earnings season with an expectation that we might actually see an earnings decline of 2.1%. That's been whittled down. Well, we're going to see where we end up by the end of this quarter. But if you're unaware of that base effect, you know, that might look very different, or you might interpret that very differently. So there's lots of moving parts here from a fundamental basis to try to understand how various economies are doing, not just the U.S.
Yeah, so I've got an interesting take on how what we saw this week, the economic numbers for GDP that came out. And let's look at it in two directions, Dave. Let's assume that the economy is going to be continually doing at this kind of a rate of 3%. Okay. And earnings are coming out. Some companies are producing well. Some have been kicked in the chin.
Oh, you've seen a very different set of results between
companies.
And
that kind of mixes everything up.
Yeah.
And let's assume things are going well, or even let's assume that things are not. We're decelerating.
Okay.
We're getting closer to a recession. Are we in a position now where active stock management is going to outperform passive stock management?
Can I say it depends? It depends on the efficiency of the market, maybe?
Correct. Well, yeah.
Right, on the different on the respective markets.
That's a fair comment. I think where we're tilting from, Dave, is if you look at some of the managers around the world that we follow, that we work with, we sat down with and had dinner and chatted about what they look at, these fundamental managers, they're not market timing, they're not technicians, they're not looking at charts alone, they're looking at fundamentals. They're really in the camp that passive investing, just buying an ETF and sitting on it, is slowly going away, and you're going to get closer and closer to being active management. Because now if it's an earnings program,
yeah,
or if it is a recessionary times, you better own the right companies, or you better own the companies that still have that growth mechanism to it, because they're going to be rewarded.
Yeah.
While the ones who are not growing.
Well, I was going to say there's two avenues. So from a growth perspective, but also from a defensive perspective, right? There's a strong argument to be made now for active management. If you felt that we were moving towards that recession point, that you want to be active in terms of choosing equities that are perhaps more defensively positioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're correct in the sense that we're moving in that direction. It probably does warrant a more active approach versus a passive approach at this particular point. I think it's fair to say, volatility. So to going to your point, the companies that are performing well, you're seeing, like Facebook was a good example,
yep,
just crushed its earnings expectation. And on a massive company like that, you saw a huge increase in one day. You get the Intels of the world that miss or something like that. You get a big crash on any given day. So what we're seeing is volatility, certainly within individual issuers, start to spike up based on how they've done in the current quarter or what their forward forecast is, looking into the near future. So I think you make a good point there that there's likely an opportunity for rotation, either, depending on what side of the coin on, doesn't really matter, defensive or aggressive.
So I'm holding in my hand right now, Dave, a quantitative analysis of investor behavior done by Delbar. It's December 31st of last year's report. One of the interesting things that they look at, and they're looking at your do-it-yourself investors and investors with advisors and so forth, and they find that those who are investing passively,
mm-hmm,
passively.
Mm-hmm.
So ETFs, exchange-traded funds, buy.
Passive indexes, yeah.
The concept of an ETF or an exchange-traded fund is to buy and hold. That's the concept.
Right.
Let the market do what the market is, because an active manager can't outperform the index.
Well, you're talking a traditional exchange-traded fund that was an index.
Just an index.
Hugger, yeah.
Just an index, yeah. Right? So in 2008, the average equity investor underperformed. This is the investor. Mm-hmm. Underperformed by 5%.
Against the index.
Against the index because of market timing.
Mm-hmm.
The average equity index fund investor, so ETF investor, underperformed by 3%,
mm-hmm,
because of market timing.
Timing.
And so even an asset allocation fund investor, so a person who's just buying a mixture of stocks and bond type of ETFs,
yep,
underperformed the benchmark or their benchmark by 5%.
Right.
So what I'm finding is that although people have the concept that in the index will outperform the fund manager or,
yep,
the money manager over a long period of time, let's say 10 years, they're not out. These individual investors who are believing in that philosophy,
yep,
are not outperforming the index because they're taking into account market timing. They're becoming the money manager.
Right. Right.
And they're underperforming.
Right.
So it's difficult to buy, hold, and not look at something for 10 years. I get that,
right,
especially as you transition to or live in retirement.
Yep.
The interesting part is nowhere in this report do they talk about downside risk protection.
Yeah, that's always absent, not always, often absent in these reports, right? It's always a return calculation in the absence of risk.
And the interesting part about the report, and it's not a negative to the report, but just an interesting fact, is that they did not talk about alternatives to the stock and bond market.
Right.
They just talked about either you're in the stock market or you're out.
Right. Two asset classes, stocks and cash.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we did a presentation last Tuesday, two of them. And the conversation of alternative investments, investing outside conventional stocks, bonds and cash, actually had more attention from these viewers, mm-hmm, these listeners, mm-hmm, than we've probably had in a very long time. Because they realize the fact that they, although they need the returns, they cannot take the risk. And so reports like this from Delbar are just a testament that we're trying to time the market, which, mm-hmm, will offset risk,
right,
versus diversifying and including an alternative strategy.
Right.
And so I had a chance to meet with Andrew McCreath. He's on BNN quite a bit. And I did an interview, and hopefully I can get that recording out to the public on this one. But it was very interesting how he looks at the market from a alternative manager,
right,
than a very conventional, right, long only, or just let's just buy stocks and watch them ride up
and try to time it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about structure and all of this, the philosophy about how to build portfolios to get to all of these different points in space and protect yourself and so on and so forth. We're going to do that at our next upcoming seminar. Why don't we invite people out to that?
Yeah, that'll be on Tuesday, May 14th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. Now you need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or go on our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You want to understand the relationship between your brain and your muscles? It's an interesting one. Stick around for that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.